We'll commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the first week of November 2006, this is the Rain Report, available as a downloadable MP3 from both arnewsline.org and therainreport.com. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. The Boulder Amateur Radio Club Juniors, better known as BARC Juniors, is a perennial participant in the Dayton Hamvention Youth in Amateur Radio Forum. BARC Juniors has been one of the most successful radio clubs in the United States in recruiting youngsters into ham radio and keeping them involved. One reason is radio instructor Bruce Arthur, KQ6TQ, who has been an Elmer with BARC Juniors for 8 years.
BARC Juniors was started in 1992 by Rip and Ollie Van Winkle. It was kind of affiliated with the Boulder Amateur Radio Club. We don't really get any support per se from the seniors, but we are associated with them. We get a lot of moral support, and a lot of guys come down and help the kids by Elmering at our meetings. This is kind of important. We're a 501c3, and this is kind of a pain to do, but it really helps when it comes time to raise money because people start getting credit with on their taxes for the donations they make to you, because we're completely supported by donations and efforts of the kids. The club's been as big as about 38 or 40 kids. Membership goes up and goes down and just kind of moderate right now. We meet once a week, pretty much every week. We take time off in the fall and time off around the holidays, but it's a very regular thing. I think this is really an important point, that you have to have regular meetings and you got to be getting the kids out to do stuff on a regular basis if you want them to really participate and enjoy it the most. We meet Saturdays in the afternoon during the school year, and then, you know, it varies in the summertime, but we pick a weekday evening depending on what's convenient for most of the Elmers. People have their weekends to go off and do whatever they want when school is out. We also have a weekly 2-meter net that one of the BARC Juniors moderates. A lot of the seniors will check into that net as well, and a lot of the kids check in. It gives them a reason to get out and push the button on their radio and actually start talking to people. We're very fortunate that Rip and Ollie let us use their basement on Saturdays and weekday nights. It is a place we don't have to pay for. Finding public space can really be challenging. Boulder Public Schools allows us to use the schools if we wanted to. You got to pay the janitors $35 an hour or whatever it is, so it's really difficult finding free meeting space. I know organizations like ours will sometimes use churches, you know, whatever sort of space they can get donated for free. Typical meeting, we'll have announcements, then we'll divide up and groups of Elmers and BARC Juniors will go off to different parts of the house to actually work on whatever they're working on that particular week. Sometime during the middle of the afternoon, we'll have a demonstration that Rip does for the kids. This kind of breaks up the meetings. It's not completely always done this way because a lot of times I'll have the older kids and we just sort of skip the demo and just keep working on what we're working on because we really need the whole hour and 15 minutes or so to get through something. And then we have a closing where everyone shows up back in the big room and a little bit more discussion, and then we move on. One big thing that happens in the big room is we have a lot of recognition of the kids. The kids come here in the beginning. This is the new kids. They're introduced to the rest of the club, so the club knows who everyone is. When a child gets their first license, there's also recognition on that. They get a free MFJ clock that they get to take home with them. Plus, all upgrades are honored. We have a number of kids that are very bright, and so they sort of run the range. BARC Juniors will also have achievements outside of the club. Those also get recognized within the membership. Some of the Elmers like teaching from the license manual. Elmers are free to do whatever they want as far as what works best for them. Some Elmers really like using these experimenter boards that like Radio Shack has, where you can hook the parts together and do your electronics on those. Some like to use the computer, either searching for things on the web or going through license exams on the web at QRZ.com or some of those places. Some Elmers like to use the radio, get the kids on HF and start teaching them how the radio works, what the knobs do. Some of them just talk with the kids and go over stuff. They might bring some props to work about what they're trying to talk about. But there's a lot of different techniques, and the Elmers are free to develop whatever technique works best for them. That works with the kid well because the kids work better with some Elmers than they do with other Elmers. We do have a little bit of paperwork we do. It's not much. We have a card that's printed on both sides that's a status card to keep track of what you covered with the kids. What the status card really consists of is just the summary of the broken by the 10 sections within the license manual and the way the test is set up. And then there's a subsections for each of the major bullets. There's the question groups within each question block. So we just sort of use the exam as a outline of the material to cover. It's not a regimen. It's not something you try and cover, but we found that sometimes the kids were getting like way too much propagation or way too much covering one specific subject. So each kid has their own card so we can see how many times they've gone through each of these sections of the manual so we don't overdo it. Elmers have preferences of what parts of the test that they would like to go over. A lot of Elmers, like I'm one, I don't go over frequencies because, you know, you're just going to have to memorize the frequencies yourself. Same thing with the rules. I don't spend a lot of time with rules because a lot of that is just memorization, and the kids can get more of that out of the book. I think I can help them by talking about phase angle and things like that. They're a little bit harder to understand and harder to explain, and it's not just a straight memorization sort of thing. I think it's important to note, too, that we push pretty hard to get to the first license, but then after they have a license, it sort of eases up and they have a lot more flexibility in what they can do in the meetings. I talked a little bit about this earlier, but we spend a lot of time matching the kids with the Elmers. And this is really important because some of the kids don't work as well with one Elmer as they would with another. They have preferences. I don't like working with the little kids that much. And it's okay because there's all these older kids that I can work with in general. I don't mind doing technician stuff, but we have some kids as young as 6 years old, and I have a hard time relating and teaching those guys because I'm just in a different place. But we have Elmers that are great with them. We work in small groups, sometimes one-on-one, probably seldom more than four-on-one, except in some rare instances when, you know, we don't have enough Elmers to cover the whole thing. I'll go over a couple things I like to do. I like to play with a spectrum analyzer. This is something you do with the extra class kids, is the spectrum analyzer, because they're expected to know about these sorts of instruments, and they got to get an idea what the frequency domain is versus the time domain. So we do a lot of talking about frequencies. You can hook up cable TV, and you can see the TV channels, you can see the QAMs, you can see all that stuff on the spectrum analyzer and tune through it. They don't get a deep understanding of what's going on, but the smart ones get a surprising amount of information out of it, and all the kids enjoy it because it's kind of interesting. Same thing with the time domain. I'll do things with an oscilloscope. I think it's really important that you understand what phase angle is when you're talking about capacitors and inductors. Phase angle is how the current is not in phase with voltage as you're going through a capacitor and inductor. So I actually demonstrate that with a current probe and the voltage probe on the oscilloscope so you can see the sine wave driving the capacitor or driving the inductor, and you can see that the two waves shift with respect to each other. And it's a real visual way for the kids to see what's going on, and it's a great introduction to what resonance is, because capacitors shift it one way, inductors shift it the other way, and when you put them together, it makes a resonant circuit. So the kids sort of get an idea what that's all about, and then you can derive the formula of resonance from the formula for inductive reactance and capacitive reactance, and the high school kids get it. Elementary or junior high kids, sometimes that's too much for them, so you got to sort of pace it, teach to your audience as best you can.
You're listening to a 2006 Dayton Hamvention presentation by Bruce Arthur, KQ6TQ, a radio instructor and active adult member in Bark Juniors, a radio club in Boulder, Colorado, that is noteworthy for its ability to interest kids in ham radio and keep them involved. We'll conclude our excerpt from his animated forum in a moment. This is the Rain Report, being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH. You'll find his bio on QRZ.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Each kid is treated as an individual, and I think this is a real key thing, too. We don't expect all the kids working on technician class to be at the same level. We don't expect all the kids working on general class to grasp the material at the same level. They're treated as separate people, and they're matched with an Elmer and matched with other Bark juniors so they can learn as best they can at their level, at their speed. Some of the kids like to do a lot of hands-on stuff. This is kind of important, too, because after you get your first license, it's a lot more flexible what you can do with your Bark Junior time. And you get to make some things, that's great, and the kids get some value out of it. A lot of the kids really like CW. I encourage them to do CW, and they better hurry because there's a good chance that test is going to disappear for them sometime soon. But they enjoy it, and it's a real draw because it's something different. And some of them really grab it and move with it, and some of them, like my son, doesn't like CW. It's okay. We'll probably end up creating some sort of CW certification or something at the club level when the test goes away so they can demonstrate their proficiency and get some recognition out of it. We got young Elmers. Once the kids get up to their extra class license, there's nothing more for them to study from that standpoint. So depending on their knowledge level and their interaction with the kids, we'll let them work with some of the younger kids. I've been working with a bunch of kids doing software development. We're currently writing a logging program. We do field day every year, and we're developing a logging program because none of the programs out there really work very well for the way we do field day. We're doing it in C++. It's running under Linux, so it's all free software. And once we get it done and get it cleaned up, we're probably going to put it out on the internet so people can grab it, with a suggestion that they donate to the Bark Juniors. And we are a 501c3. Dayton is kind of part of our teaching curriculum, too, because we award some number of kids a trip to speak at the Youth Forum with Carol's help each year. And we wrap this into the curriculum because in January and February, the kids volunteer who would like to try for Dayton this year. We have a pre-training class This allows the kids to put together a pilot presentation, which they then present to all the Elmers. We choose one or two or some number of kids out of this to come to Dayton and attend. Once they're selected by the Elmers to come, every week they get together with Ellie and other subgroup of Elmers to work on their presentations on a weekly basis, and they'll give them several times before they even get here. So this is kind of a big deal for the kids. A lot of them really aspire to do it. They come to Dayton, and they present their pitch, whatever it may happen to be. Each kid is free to choose whatever they want to talk about, and that's part of their qualifying is to discuss what they're going to be doing in their regular presentation. We also have a lot of other activities we do besides the regular weekly meetings. Sometimes are wrapped around weekly meetings, some are not. We have contests and operating-related activities. We do some field trips, and we have other club get-togethers. One thing we did for several years that we don't do anymore, and I'm mentioning it because it didn't work for us, but it might work for you guys, is we did JOTA, which is the Jamboree on the Air with the Scouts. The challenge we had, we couldn't get any Scouts to come. We put notifications where they sell stuff in the district offices, and I was even the committee chair for a Cub Scout pack, and the kids just weren't all that interested. So we sort of lost interest in doing JOTA. We can get on the radios anytime we want. We do sweepstakes. Sweepstakes is a little different contest for us because we don't have all the kids necessarily involved in sweepstakes. It's more for the more mature and aggressive contest, or the kids that are more into doing the contesting and want to focus and hone their contesting skills a little more than you do with field day. The girls did real well. We had two groups doing sweepstakes one year, and the girls outshone the boys by a noticeable margin, although both groups placed very well within our section. Again, you get to sit with somebody that has a license. You get to push the button on an HF radio and talk to somebody. There's always an Elmer around. There's still learning going on while we're doing the contesting. We do field day every year, and it's a pretty big activity for us. We do a pretty big job of field day, too. We form a field day committee. We have monthly meetings starting in about January. Sometimes we'll have additional meetings and get-togethers depending on how much work we have to get done, because we generally operate 2 to 3 transmitters plus a go-to station. So it's a pretty good size operation. We form subcommittees and chairmen of the subcommittees, and you have operations, you have radios, you have antennas, you have food, logistics, all that sort of thing. The kids do a lot of the work. We rent a truck or we get a truck donated, and we take it out and we fill it up with junk and haul out to this field, unload it, and set everything up. There's some stuff we don't let the kids do. The adults have to put up the towers. We generally have 2 towers with beams on top. We have some A-frames we put up with long wire antennas. We have a lot of stuff. We change locations every couple years. This gives us a little bit of variety, number one, and the kids get tired of the same place. It allows you to reemphasize the fact that this is an emergency communication. You don't want to get dug in too deep in any one location. The kids own these tents. Elmer donates space to store the tents. We have canopies that somebody else stores for us. We have a lot of stuff. We have towers. We have antennas. Storage can be a problem when you get something like this going on. And you need a lot of these materials because to do a field day the way we do it, takes a lot of stuff. We're a little bit competitive at field day. We keep track of how many states, and we usually get all the states, all the sections every year. Unfortunately for us, places like Wyoming can be very difficult because we're a little bit too close, and there's not that many people in Wyoming. Voice is the most popular mode. Last year, about half our points we got off of voice. But we're also doing PSK 31. We got about a quarter of our points off of PSK, and the other quarter came off of CW. So we still have kids doing CW. Most of the kids spend the night. We do permission slips, and they always got to have an Elmer with them, you know, somebody that's responsible for them while they're on the activity. We also do a Brass Pounder Award. This is for the kid that works the most CW contacts during field day. We also have a big food, a lot of food. We have breakfast. We bring bagels and cream cheese. We bring pizza for lunch. And generally, we cook hamburgers and hot dogs, something like that, for dinner. And we have a lot of people. I think we have as many as 60 or 70 people at dinner. Okay, I'm going to go real quick over field trips. We have a whole bunch of different ones. We've gone to Aero Antenna. There's a place up north of Boulder that used to be a Department of Interior site where they had some of these 35-foot dishes. We've been up there a couple times, called Deep Space Exploration. A little bit of radio astronomy, a little bit of whatever they can figure out how to do. Space weather, atomic clock. There's some local manufacturers we visited, EMI test. Our other gatherings, this is real quick, I'll just pop through these. We have homebrew night. We have a holiday party every year. We also have an Elmer of the Year award that the kids decide on. We have a spring picnic, and we do a lot of fox hunts. Do a real quick one on raising money. Is we do almost all of our money is by donations, and by and large is equipment that we get. We have had some monetary donations, but we get a lot of old radios, a lot of old equipment, and we take it to Barkfest and Larkfest, and we have 3-4 trailers. We have a whole corner of the facility, and we sell stuff. Tons and tons of stuff. We also go out and grab towers that people want taken down. We take them down and we sell them. We have 166 kids we've licensed, 225 past and present members, and 45 past and present Elmers. This is what I think is the most important stuff. You got to do stuff. You got to go out there with the kids and let them do things. Every kid's unique, and it's supposed to be fun. This is an after-school activity. It shouldn't be dog work.
Bruce Arthur, KQ6TQ, a radio instructor with the Boulder Amateur Radio Club Juniors. Bruce Arthur, KQ6TQ, a radio instructor with the Boulder Amateur Radio Club Juniors. Bark Juniors, a Boulder, Colorado ham radio club that has served as a model for how to recruit kids into amateur radio and keep them there. We excerpted from his 2006 Dayton Hamvention talk given during the Teachers Workshop Forum. You'll find contact information for Bruce and Bark Juniors on the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2006. Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.